Hi, Max here. Thanks for listening to our show. Before we get into this episode, I need to give special thanks to Absinthe. Not the beverage, that stuff scares me. Absinthe, that's with a 3 at the end instead of an E, is a young new musician who hails from both Scotland and Australia. He's also a good friend of mine, and he composed the theme music for this show. You can find him on Facebook, SoundCloud, and Twitter, so please go check out the rest of his fantastic music. Thanks again, Ethan. Enjoy the show. Back for episode 2 of Offbeat Tracks.
Yeah, I'm Max. I'm Danielle.
And today we're going to talk about the greatest movie soundtrack of all time. Probably an exaggeration, but not much fun.
I mean, we can argue that some other time, but it is a good one.
It is indeed. It's breaking. Breaking of early 80s breakdancing.
It's fame. Breaking all the rules.
It is. Well, at the time, I think it probably was breaking all the rules. You're not wrong. So, Breakin', this genius soundtrack of a movie that really, I mean, breakdancing had already been a thing for many years when Breakin' came out, which was 1984.
Yeah, 84.
And breakdancing had definitely been around. It was a well-known thing. And this was like, I think, I don't know if it was so much an effort to bring it to the mainstream as it was to just kind of capitalize on the trend.
Oh, yeah. See if they can catch some lightning in a bottle.
It definitely had the effect of bringing breakdancing to the forefront in a way that, I mean, Flashdance kind of had started it a year before, but that wasn't really, I mean, they featured a famous breakdancer, Crazy Legs, but this movie really kind of just took that specific
trend. The culture was different, too. This was more of a cultural movie as well, I mean, than Flashdance was. Flashdance is, you know.
Sure, Flashdance is a rom-com with some music videos sewn into it. But no, you're right. This was definitely more about the culture. And then there was the other film, Beat Street, that came out around the same time. That sort of, it was similar. Got into the culture of New York breakdancers. A very fascinating watch. This one, of course, however, focuses on like a pretty white princess ballerina type. It was sort of like, I think, trying to take what Beat Street did and then like maybe kind of apply the Flashdance storyline. Like, oh, this white girl wants to be a breakdancer.
If we want to combine the two and make it into a mega movie, here we have Breakin'.
Indeed.
In LA. We do. In beautiful LA, where no one knows how to dress for the weather because sometimes.
That's right. Well, I will say it is a very dry heat out there. I think 88 degrees and wearing leg warmers.
There's one scene at the beginning where she first goes to Venice and she's like, they go to Venice to watch the stuff. And she's like, do I need my coat? And like everyone else is wearing a bikini. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you're right.
That's an aside, but that really drove me insane. I was like, everyone is wearing a bikini at the beach. And you're like, do I need my coat?
Brilliant.
Anyway, it's a very unnecessary line.
So yes, this stars Lucinda Dickey as Kelly, who is taken under the wing of Turbo and Ozone.
Turbozone.
Played by Shabadoo and Boogaloo Shrimp, which are the coolest names for actors ever.
Definitely their given names ever.
I know the one guy's real first name is Adolfo, but I don't know. I have no idea what Boogaloo Shrimp's real name is.
Probably Ralph. I don't know. Something that's not Boogaloo at all. I don't know. I don't care. I love him.
Hillary Dundee.
Hillary Boogaloo Dundee here.
And she's like this young dancer who wants to make it. And then her buddy hooks her up with Turbo and Ozone. And they let her into their dancing crew. And they go around breakdancing.
Yeah, that's for you.
And winning club battles.
Yep.
And amid all of it, we have this fabulous, fabulous soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. I just watched this movie in preparation for this. Max let me watch his copy, and it is...
It's special, isn't it?
Kelly is not bright.
No.
She's not a bright person in general. Actually, when I first started watching it, because I always like to try to predict how movies will go.
Right.
And so I was like, the first scene, she's like, well, not the first scene, but like the first dance scene when she's in her dance class being all jazz dancey. With her creepy teacher, she I'm sitting there going, I was like, oh, I figured out this movie. It is about someone who isn't very good at dancing, who meets some people on the street who take her in and teach her how to dance at things and be good at it. And then I was like, oh, no, wait, that's not what this is about. Everyone thinks she's a great dancer. So I was immediately unable to suspend my disbelief.
Oh, that is hilarious. What? I think...
Am I alone in that? Is she not a great dancer?
I mean...
She's a good gymnast.
Sure. She's a good gymnast, yes.
When she's on the stage by herself, she's good because she's not around other people who are better.
Well,
I felt like that was a problem.
You know, I think breakdancing obviously was not her dream. She wanted to do the stage thing, as we figured out in the last scene.
They wouldn't let her do it.
It really comes full circle, just like Flashdance does, because, you know, she has, spoiler alert, she ends up in this big stage production we can talk about that musical moment. They performed the Firefox song Street People.
Street People.
and that's the big closing scene of the movie, mm-hmm. where everybody's just painted out as like this Andrew Lloyd Webber looking stage production.
It's
and I guess
cats on steroids.
Yes, and I guess that was the dream. You go from battle breakdancing in nightclubs to suddenly you're in a Broadway production. Who knew? A hypnotizing beat. The title track of the movie, performed by Ollie and Jerry, mm-hmm. who I know absolutely nothing about. There is like no information about these guys to be found anyway.
I actually looked them up because I was like, they do anything else? Because I couldn't remember them doing anything else. Mm-hmm. They were a couple of R&B guys who came together to make like these songs for Breakin', and that's what they were going to do. They never released a full album of anything. Like they came together for a few tracks for Breakin', then they did a few for Breakin' 2. And then they were gone.
I assumed that they were studio musicians.
Yeah, Ollie and Jerry.
Much like our friend Bill Wolford that we talked about in our Vanity episode.
Oh, Bill.
Bill, we're still looking for you, Bill.
Bill, please call us.
The search for Bill Wolford. This is going
to
be a new segment.
We have an important message to give you, Bill.
In the form of a copy of Skin on Skin that we would really like you to sign.
Yes.
Anyway, back to Breakin'. And Ollie and Jerry specifically, who were probably studio musicians, you know, Ollie and Jerry was, I don't think was a thought out art project. They were like, man, we're really going to take this thing somewhere.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's basically just all production anyway on their songs. There aren't really any lyrics. They're just kind of,
and I think that's the case with a lot of these 80s soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll share a story with Linda Chase that I heard from Linda Chase. Linda Chase was the lead singer of a group called Three Speed. Three Speed did the theme song to the movie Once Bitten, which we could do a whole episode mm-hmm. about that one as well. And maybe we should like have Linda on the show because I am still in contact with her from time to time. But Linda told me this fantastic story about how Three Speed was a band. I mean, they were actually a band that got tapped by MCA Records to do that song for Once Bitten. And she said they tried and tried and tried and tried after that to keep sending them songs that they had written. And they would never make a Three Speed album, and a Three Speed album was never made. And she said it got so bad that she was like making up fake song titles of things that she hadn't actually sent them. And the people would just lie back saying that, oh yeah, we didn't really care for that one. Or we liked the vocals on that one. And it was just totally songs that she made up off the top of her head, titles she made up that weren't real songs. But neither here nor there. The point is a lot of these groups were either just studio productions or they were smaller bands that labels, I think, kind of scooped up and sort of took advantage of.
Yeah, that's probably partially the Ollie and Jerry story.
Now, you did on the soundtrack, though, also have the Barkays, who were very much an established group already. By then they had been around since the 1960s.
Yeah, the Barkays song to me is so weird on this soundtrack because it's not really that kind of breakdancing sound. It is very old school funk, this song.
Very much.
It is very old school, like it sounds like Rick James in like 1980. Like it doesn't really have, it's not very synthy, it's just pure funk.
Yes.
Which is great, but I mean it doesn't match, I love it though. It doesn't match the rest of the soundtrack. But that's fine. They're dancing three on one, 'cause there ain't no rules.
So this is interesting. A footnote on Ollie and Jerry, as I was just looking here, they were actually in the band Radio.
Really?
R-A-Y-D-O, which I think was the group that Ray Parker Jr. was in too, wasn't it? Yeah,
Radio.
that was Ray Parker Jr.'s group, who of course was, you know, doing Ghostbusters by the time.
Can he redo his song for this new movie? Get Fall Out Boy off of it.
Yes, let's not even go there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally agree with you though. Barquet's very 70s funk sound and does kind of stick out a little bit on this. But I think that I feel like they were probably included on this soundtrack as sort of like, oh wow, there's a Barquet song on here. You know, I think they were
good
supposed
notoriety
to be like the quote unquote star power. them and, well, the other well-known name on there was, of course, Rufus and Chaka Khan, who one of their most well-known songs is on this soundtrack, which is Ain't Nobody. And
yeah,
it actually
definitely the hit.
For sure. And that I'm pretty sure Ain't Nobody was on a Rufus and Chaka Khan album. And when it was released as a single, it was off of that album. And so it wasn't a song that they did for this movie. It was definitely on one of their albums. But it was also included on this soundtrack, and actually on a very funny scene, going back to the plot of the movie. This is one of these like teaching her how to dance scene. This is the scene where they're like trying to teach.
It's very teach. Baby.
They were calling her Special K at this time. By now her name was Special K. By then, goes from Kelly to Special K. But they're like trying to teach her how to twirl on one leg. This is the Ain't Nobody scene. Because I guess that breakdancing to Ain't Nobody would have been a little tough. So this was their way of sneaking it in the movie. It was a montage scene.
You can pop and lock to it. That's what I'm doing right now. Turbo can do anything he wants. He doesn't need. Get him some Beethoven. He's popping and locking to it.
Of Turbo, I would like to point out, are you aware like how much younger he was than the other
members? He looks like he's 10. I never looked it up.
He's a baby. I mean, Kelly and Ozone are both well into their 20s in this movie, but Boogaloo Shrimp was only 16 years old.
I'm not surprised. Wow.
When he was in Breakin'.
Wow. Well, he was also in, I did not really, he's the big break dancer in I Feel For You.
Oh, video. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So well, Shaka so is and Turbo.
Ozone. Yeah, that's Turbo and Ozone.
Boogaloo.
Yeah, they're both in there. And I think that video, they aren't, I read somewhere once, I think this might've been like on an old pop-up video episode. I saw this, but they aren't actually dancing to the song I Feel For You, which really is like sort of disappointing when you watch that video and you know that they aren't actually dancing.
You think they signed up for a different video and then they were really upset when they got home and watched MTV?
I think that somebody cheaped out on making a video and just took footage of Turbo and Ozone dancing and slapped I Feel For You on there.
No.
Since you've brought that up, Turbo's popping and locking, we have to mention, of course, the glaring omission from this soundtrack, which is Kraftwerk's Tour de France, which is like the iconic scene in this movie where Turbo is going to town with a broom.
And it's awesome. Out in front of know if going to town with the broom is the way you want to word that.
Well, how else would you describe what he's doing?
That's a good point. It's very Fantasia. It's very modern Fantasia.
Oh my gosh, it is.
I just thought about that too. I was just like thinking of
it is very modern Fantasia. Well done.
Yeah, that's good. I can think sometimes.
But yeah, brilliant scene, just brilliant dance sequence, but the song's not on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And who the hell knows why? I mean, it was a single. Kraftwerk put out the single.
Oh yeah, I mean, Kraftwerk. I mean, that probably was an old song by that point. I mean, I think that's...
I don't think so. I think it was... I think it had just come out like a year or two before.
Really?
And it was... I don't think it was on a Kraftwerk album. I believe it was just like a stopgap single that they threw out there between albums. But it's definitely from that electro era in the first few years of the 80s.
I love that it's like out of nowhere. It's like all these like cool popping and locking, like Barquet's funk. You've got... Here's some krautrock, guys. No, it's cool. Krautrock. Street cred. Oh, I love that song. And I love that scene. I love that scene so much.
Yes.
He did not get any of his sweeping done.
No, not a bit. Well, he does right at the very end.
Yeah.
It's like sweep, 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 sweep. And then he walks back in the store like, yeah, I'm done. Paris, Roubaix, Tour de France. another great highlight on this soundtrack is Body Work, a song by Hot Streak, which famously sampled later on. A lot of people don't know that this is where this came from, but the Sierra and Missy Elliott song, Lose Control, comes from Body Work by Hot Streak from the Breakin' soundtrack. But that's where they got Music Make You Lose Control, comes from that song.
And I never thought about that until right now.
See, I just blew your mind.
Mind blown. What am I going to do? Now I don't have a brain. that's a great song. Obviously legendary even now. It's still alive. It's still living and it's legend. I just really want to watch the broom scene again. I'm so glad I saw that. I mean, something about the broom scene. I don't know, but I've been told. Music make you lose control. Work your body to the beat. Body work will set you free. Sound off. One, two, sound off. Three, four. Bring it on down. Bring it on down.
As far as actual great breakdancing music, I think that it, like, because I used to breakdance when I was in, like, middle school, high school. I was not good at all. I would just do it for fun.
I remember you doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I could, you know, do the little turtle spin on my back.
Better than any of us could.
It was just fun. But, like, for me, actual music that would be really good to breakdance to, I gotta give it to 99.5, Carolyn Towns. That song just kicks. It's like, I think it's the closest thing that we have to, like, a freestyle song on the album, probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. It just really, it works for me. It's like a perfect blend of electro and freestyle, and I love the vocal effects they do with her voice. It's just killer, killer track.
There's so many of that on this album. That's what's so great about it. You can play it front to back and just, like, have all of the dancing music. Like, it's got so many layers and it ebbs and flows. Not everything is the same exact song, which is easy to do with this kind of music because a lot of those songs sound exactly the same.
That is very true, and that's a good point. The songs do have personality. There is no confusing the...
I mean, Ain't Nobody's a little bit different, but that's, like, also a huge hit. That was a huge hit.
Front to back, for sure, it is dancey throughout, but the songs definitely do have their own personalities. We also have to note, I think, that Ice-T is...
tells you how old Ice-T is.
Hidden in here. Yeah, exactly. That's a very good point. It does tell you how old Ice-T is.
And also how...
I was shocked. I had to look this up. He's 58 years old. And I did not consider that.
So that would have been what? So it's 32 years ago.
Yeah,
was
so
breaking,
he would have been about 25 in this movie.
And he somehow still looks like he's 50 in that movie. Not have great skin.
And he's with his former partner in crime, Chris the Glove Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good scene in the movie, too. You see them doing their thing briefly, where...
Yeah, I think he's credited in the movie as the rapper.
Yes, that's true. That is also true, which is just so funny.
The rapper.
Because, I mean, I think that this was probably his first wide exposure, I would think. But he definitely, like, no one knew him as Ice-T at that time, outside of maybe, you know, some local hip-hop circles, but for sure this was his first wide exposure, I would imagine.
On the long road to becoming Detective Tutuola.
Yes, indeed.
That was actually the first thing I thought of when I saw him. I was like, oh, what's up, Tutuola? So listen to him, check him out, but remember this, when the gloves on the wheels of steel, he's reckless.
I would also like to mention that Heart of the Beat, the song by 3V on the album, that was...
I can break dance with you.
Yes, that's right. It was the great Dan Hartman posing as some group that didn't exist called 3V, which I guess, you know, again, probably just studio musicians and pulling Dan Hartman into the studio to sing.
Oh, yeah. He's probably just walking around the studio one day and they're like, hey, Dan, can you just do this?
Yeah, he probably had just finished cutting, like, I Can Dream About You, and they were like... oh crap, we need somebody to sing this song. Get me Dan Hartman. Get me I like, I can't imagine anyone actually said that ever.
Get me Dan.
You know who would be perfect to sing this? Dan Hartman. Just what I was thinking. Just what I was thinking.
You are a genius, Bob. Where the streets are crowded, but there's always room for extraordinary dancing in a solitary life. Dancing in the heart of the beat. When you wanna feel thunder, it's the only release. Shake it.
I do wanna put one final note on not necessarily this movie, but on the career of someone involved, and that's Lucinda Dickey, who played Kelly slash Special K.
Is she married to someone big, I think?
I don't know. Is she?
I think. Let me look that up.
Is she married to someone famous? What I was going to say is that she went on to perform in one of my absolute favorite cult movies of all time. It is called Ninja 3 The Domination.
It sounds great.
It is fantastic. I remember like being in high school and this coming up on late night cable, and the description for it on the cable box said something to the effect of a break dancer with ESP is possessed by an evil ninja. And I'm like, how
sold.
Could I not sit down and watch this movie?
Yeah.
And this is everything that you think it will be and more. There's a scene where she literally tries to break dance the demon out of her. As her closet is like open in poltergeist fashion, and she's like slamming breakdancing moves around trying to get this demon out of her. It is fantastic. Highly recommend it.
Craig Piligan is who she's married to. Okay. But isn't he famous?
I've never heard of him if he is.
Oh, he's co-executive producer of the reality TV game show Survivor. That's how I know who he is. So all she's right. Got that Survivor money coming in.
Oh.
Lucinda ain't got to work no more.
Oh, that's why we haven't heard from her.
Yeah, that's precisely why it's not her movie
Yeah,
choices.
I mean, as far as I know, Ninja 3 The Domination was the last thing that old Lucinda ever did that was of any
She went note. Out on a high note, clearly.
Quit
while you're ahead, Lucinda.
Yes. I mean, that is to say that I have not ever seen anything with a more recent credit with Lucinda Dickey's name.
Yeah, the only thing I've ever heard of her being in was Breakin'. Before that, so I think that's pretty much it. I knew she was married to someone who
we can put out the Lucinda call, just like we have
Lucinda,
the Bill Wolfram call out.
Lucinda and Bob.
Lucinda,
Bill, whatever his name is.
And you should tweet us also. We're Offbeat Tracks on Twitter, and you can also find us online at offbeattrackscast.com.
Yep, lots of links, lots of fun stuff.
Yeah, drop us a line, tell us what you would like to hear us feature on the show.
Yeah,
and maybe we'll do it.
Maybe.
Alrighty, so until next time.
All right, have a good one.